Hey, I'm Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. Welcome to another podcast. It's a Saturday afternoon, and I'm here in my office pretty much all alone. My wife's running around somewhere doing whatever wives do. I think she's preparing dinner. My kids are off at guitar practice. And it's been a very non-eventful day. Earlier today, I was at the Starbucks writing, and I bumped into one of the members of my site, Richard, and he's from the United States, and he's over here for a little while, and just bumped into me, said hello, and we started up a little conversation. And that was kind of cool. It's always nice to talk to the members. And let's see, what was on my mind? Well, you know, I had a whole long list of things that I wanted to talk about. However, I just saw that another motorcycle driver has died in a crash in Phuket. Doesn't say his name, does it? Let me see here. I thought I saw the picture of the guy. Oh, what is this? Mr. Hitman. Now, I don't know if they've got a first name. Oh, Harry Isaac Hitman. He crashed into a cement block wall and was dead at the scene by the time they had arrived. He was apparently driving too fast, lost control, crashed into a wall, and he wasn't wearing a helmet. So, very unfortunate. And you know what? Let's see if I can find this here. The reason that I brought this up, I mean, you know, it's a terrible thing that somebody dies from a motorcycle accident. However, that was not the reason why. Let me see if I can find this here. You know, once again, I'm not very organized for some reason. Let's see here. You know, this Thai visa, some of these, I mean, you know, it's one thing if there's a person who's a troll. You get a troll once in a while. You boot them the fuck off of the forum. But this Thai visa, these people are out of fucking control, man. I mean, I can't even believe this. Listen, this is why I'm saying this, okay? First of all, I've already told a story about how when I went on, when immigration called me, and then I dared to put up a video on their fucking website. And, you know, the owner talked to me, and the owner's no longer the owner there. They're, you know, they're owned by, I forget who. I think the nation owns them. However, let me just say, go into this here. You know, there's a little paragraph, and basically there's a photograph that says, above it, it says, unidentified British man killed in Phuket crash. And then it says the police are trying to identify him. This is the very first post. Basically, it just has a couple of lines saying that the accident occurred about 2:40 a.m., where it happened, and what kind of motorcycle he was riding, and that the man's face was covered in blood. And then it has a link to the Phuket Gazette. And the very next post is from some fucking asshole. And, of course, he probably thinks he's hot shit because he's got 4,883 posts here. And he might be a knowledgeable guy, but he's a cunt. Excuse my French. The first thing he says is, who the hell, other than an idiot, goes out with any ID on them? Oh, and no helmet. So it goes. As if he's never done anything stupid, or as if, you know, as if he has to say something that fucking negative. And this is the problem with people in the world. There are people like this cunt. And instead of him saying, wow, that's terrible, you know, maybe if he had a motorcycle helmet on, it might have saved his life. You know, it's a bad situation. Instead, this fucking know-it-all cunt, that's the only way I can describe him, and his username is Just One Voice. The only thing he says is, Who the hell, other than an idiot, goes out without any ID on them? Oh, and no helmet. And, let's see here. To their credit, somebody here said, thanks once again for the crass comments and internet clusos. It could be you next. And, you know, usually there are some people, or there is at least one voice of reason in their forum. But what I find really interesting is that these people have all this time, and all they want to do is fucking be negative. Negative, negative, negative. I mean, Jesus Christ. It's like, you know what? I post one fucking thing that says, you know what? I don't sleep very well, and I was woken up early in the morning, and, you know, I fell back asleep, and then all of a sudden there's a fucking couple hundred kids in front of my house with some lady screaming at the top of her lungs on a microphone, a megaphone. And all I did was make a comment about how, you know, this is one thing I don't like about Bangkok, is the constant fucking noise. And you can get away from it, but the noise continues. You just have to hide out from it and find a place where there's absolute silence if you want peace and quiet. And people bash me for that. You know, I got messages, oh, fuck you. Why don't you go back home if you don't like it? Oh, Jesus fucking Christ, man. So, in other words, I'm not allowed to complain about anything when it's a legitimate complaint. Instead, I gotta, you know, I'll read some fucking piece of shit writing about a guy who died. Now, granted, the guy wasn't the brightest dude if he's hauling ass. You know, but this is what happens when you ride on motorcycles. You start riding and you feel good and you're like, ah, I'm going to gun it. And you gun it, and sometimes you gun it and it's the wrong time to gun it and you have an accident. You have an accident. And, you know, let's face it, people down in the south, people down everywhere, not only in the south, but in Bangkok, all over the place in Thailand, they don't wear helmets. A lot of times they don't wear helmets. And if they do wear helmets, it's one of those little piece of shit, cheap plastic ones that, you know, I mean, it wouldn't, if my little kid, if a little baby kid kicked you in the balls, it wouldn't protect your nuts. They're worthless, the fucking helmets, most of them. You know, I mean, they're right down the street, there is a motorcycle place near my house that sells helmets and accessories. And they've got some high-end, like Shoei and I forget the other kind of helmets that they have. But I always remember Shoei because that's the kind of helmet I always wore. You know, it's like the guy didn't wear a helmet. Okay, but he's dead now. It's a horrible thing. But do you have to make a fucking smart remark? Like, who the hell other than an idiot? Oh, yeah, you're so fucking smart. This is the thing. You know, I'll admit I'm a fucking knucklehead. I don't have all the answers. I'm not always right. And, you know, that's all you can really say. I mean, I don't think I'm a genius by any means. You know, I just think that most of the time I use my common sense. And I say most of the time because I don't always. I'm not perfect. Now, maybe this guy just felt a little in need of a little crass comment, but I think the guy's a dickhead. I'll make my point well known here. I think he's a cunt. Let's see here. What is this guy saying here? Okay, they didn't want to reveal his identity because maybe they hadn't contacted his family. I think all of these rants on how clueless. So I think all of these rants on how clueless the boys in brown are a bit premature. Yeah, I love how the expats that are on Thai visa always call them the boys in brown, the BIB. I just call them the cops, but you know, whatever. You want to call them something, fine. But they always think that they're so fucking, they're so stupid and they don't know what the fuck they're doing. And, you know, granted, when in some instances there are things where they are not qualified to do certain things that maybe police in the United States or the UK or something that in some places where they're more capable, if they choose to be. But to act like the police, they know absolutely nothing and they're just fucking idiots and it's like nothing but the Keystone Cops is ridiculous. Because they're not always like that. You know, the main thing is that this was just a needless death. And so there are many, many motorcycle riders who are safe. Especially foreign motorcycles. There are some who, you know, they would, expats that would never dream of driving around, you know, in a pair of shorts and no helmet at 3 a.m. Maybe they got a couple drinks in them and they felt like gunning it. They wouldn't do that because they're smarter than that. And, you know, when you come onto a forum and you're just bashing somebody because he died, I mean, you're bashing the guy because he died. How about, you know, rest in peace? The guy might have been a nice guy. He had a couple drinks. He did something stupid, and it cost him his fucking life. I mean, you know, I this is the thing. There's all these people that want to act like they're so much better than everybody else, and yet they're not. To me, somebody who does that's a fucking piece of shit to write something like that. Okay? And now, you know, on the subject... Here, I saw today that this Kathy Griffin, who has never been one of my favorites, she's always been an irritating twat, okay? She's a fucking cunt herself. And that is not meant to be an attack on her feminism, on her femininity. I mean, she's a cunt as in she's a dirty bitch who doesn't deserve... me to say anything about her, but I just feel like ranting about her. You know, she held up Trump's head. Now, say what you will about it. I mean, you know, it was very classless. But in this day and age, when people are getting their heads cut off by ISIS, it ain't funny to hold up the head of the President of the United States, like him or not. And what really bugs me is that, you know what? I didn't like Obama. I admit that. Now, for the entire time that he was president, I don't like him, but he's my president. And I would back him up over, as long as he was reasonable, I would back up the United States before I backed up anybody else. You know, I mean, I wouldn't be a traitor and go against him and not support him just because I don't like him. And that's what people do now. They don't like Trump. Listen, to me, Trump is he's full of hot air. But he does get a lot of things done. But he's still full of hot air. He doesn't act presidential, in my opinion. He is a bit crass himself. But for her, here's the thing. She did it. She came out. And, you know, she goes on to her YouTube video with no fucking makeup. Like, nobody can see what she's doing. First of all, every time she goes on to her little shows, she's always got makeup on. She's trying to look good. She's a scrawny, redheaded, ugly fucking chick who, you know, most guys wouldn't, they wouldn't give her a second thought. Even if she threw out a fucking wad of cash. And, you know, she's nothing. When you're going to talk about her as far as, you know, a hot-looking chick, she's definitely the complete opposite. And she's not funny. So I don't understand the whole fucking business of her even being a semi, you know, Z-level celebrity. But whatever. She did what she did. Instead of just saying, I'm sorry. Which she did do that, and of course that was probably scripted. She came out onto she made a video, and she said, "I'm deeply, deeply sorry." She comes out with absolutely no makeup. In other words, she's baring her soul. I'm showing. This is just me. Just look at me. I'm saying I'm sorry. That's what she did. It was planned. Guarantee you. She came out, she did that, and then what does she do? She starts calling fucking Trump a bully. What do you expect the guy to say? You expect him to kiss your fucking ass or just ignore you? The guy's coming out, he wants to come out swinging, man. He's a New Yorker. He's like, you fucking bitch. You know, I think you got no class. I think, you know, you got a mental issue. The wife said she thinks she's got a mental issue, which, you know, who knows? Maybe she does. But then, to make it even worse, I saw the video of her behind the scenes with the photographer saying, you know, they're going to fucking vilify me. They are going to torture me. They're going to throw me over the coals. We got to be prepared for this. So she knew exactly what she was doing. And then to come out and say that Trump is bullying her and try to turn it around and not, you know, she doesn't even really, this is the thing about celebrity. Listen, if you're sorry, you're sorry. But don't come out, sorry, but. Sorry, but he started it. Oh, fuck you. You're not sorry then. Get the fuck over it. Twats like her, man, they make me happy that I'm in Thailand. Thai chicks don't usually do this, although they're women. They do stuff like this. I mean, you know, she's just fucking ridiculous, okay? And I can't stand to see her fucking ugly face now. And she's saying that Trump is trying to ruin her career. I don't think I'm going to have a career after this. Well, guess what? You know what the thing is? What I don't like about the way that things are now in the United States is that nobody wants to take responsibility. Nobody wants to take responsibility. I blame it on Trump. It's him. It's him. He's bullying me. Wait a minute. You did it yourself. You came out, you released the photos, you were involved with it, you knew what you were doing. You're responsible. You're a responsible twat. But see, if you were a truly responsible twat, you would have accepted that, hey, you know what? I fucked up royally. And then you would have just disappeared for a while. You would have taken a little holiday. Instead, what do? Oh, he's trying to ruin my life. My career is over. Wah. Yeah, so what? I don't give a fuck. What, we're supposed to care? Nobody gives a fuck about you. Even the left is giving her shit. Even the left is giving this bitch shit. And she fucking deserves every goddamn second that she's getting tortured. She does something like that, it's absolutely stupid. I mean, what's her greatest claim to fame? Getting to talk to celebrities? You know, it says she's an Emmy winner and Grammy award-winning comedian. Well, I have never seen her do anything funny. And I think she was on The View. And from what I hear, she got booted off The View. So she's a fucking cunt. You know, I mean, that's the flat-out truth. You want to hear it? She's a fucking stupid cunt who put her fucking foot up her twat, and now she doesn't know what to do, and she's going to blame it all on fucking Trump. Jesus Christ. You know? Now, I got to say that there was a guy who wrote me earlier today, or yesterday, and he sent me this message, and this is this parallels what I was just talking about, how people don't want to take responsibilities for themselves. They just want everybody else to do everything for them. You know, I got a message from a guy a while back, and, you know, there was some guy that got ripped off, an Australian guy, seemed like a very nice guy, not the brightest dude, but he got some calls from Thailand or whatever, talking about doing business, and he got swindled out of some cash. Turns out, it was a couple $100,000. So, yeah, okay, here's a perfect guy that, you know, this is a perfect kind of guy that for me to talk about. His name is Don Johnson. You Farang Fox, you look like an abusive molester type of rapist tourist. So let me see here. Let's take a look at his channel. Of course, he has no subscribers. He just created this just to troll me. Which, of course, the first thing I do is ban him. Right? I mean, you know, the next thing I do is delete his comment from YouTube so nobody will see it. So he doesn't have any power anymore. Nobody's seen it, and everybody's, you know, it's just, he's a fucking idiot who wasted his time, and now he's making me waste my time because I got to ban his fucking ass. And then I'll go to Google Plus, type in his name, and I'll ban his fucking, I'll ban him too. On Google Plus, he gets banned and muted. You know. But of course, he probably, let's see here. I do not believe that he's on Google Plus because a lot of people don't want to log, link themselves. They don't want to link themselves to their YouTube account. So it's what they do is they just, yeah, let's see here. He's not even on here. Let's see. Yeah, really hard to find this guy, but whatever. You know, this is the kind of person that I get a couple times a day. I get these messages, you know, you cunt, you dirty bastard, fuck you. And it's like, you know what? This is, like I always say, this is not a democracy. This is my channel. And I don't give a fuck if you like me or not. If you don't like me, fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself. That's how, you know, I mean, you don't have to like me, and I really don't care. But, like, if you don't like me and you want to talk shit about me, fuck off. Because all I'm going to do is delete everything that you write, and I'm going to, you know, I'll block you. I mean, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. This is what I do. You know? And one day I won't be doing videos anymore, and I won't give a flying fuck what anybody puts. You can call me a cunt. You can call me whatever you want. It doesn't matter. So please, trolls, stop wasting your time, because that's all you're doing. You're just wasting your fucking time. You know, the same old fucking thing. And, you know, everybody gets them. And that's why, you know, at first I really used to get hostile about it. I'd be like, what the fuck, you pussy? But, you know that most of these guys are just little dick motherfuckers who are, they're crying at home because they have a terrible life or because they're jealous of what they, the kind of life that they think I have. Or they just hate me for mouthing off and telling it like it is and having some kind of a forum to do so. But, you know, it just doesn't matter. You know, it really doesn't. It doesn't matter what these fucking jerk-offs think. you know, as long as I have some loyal followers, that's all that really matters. But what I was going to say is, this guy wrote me yesterday, I guess, and he told me about the homeless foreigners in Thailand. Now, another guy had sent me a message. This is what I was talking about the Australian guy who got swindled out of quite a bit of money. And the Australian guy came here to Thailand and went looking for the people and almost caught them. He came very, very close, but he didn't catch them. Went home, and that was the last I heard. I haven't followed this for 2 or 3 years, but when it came out, when I first watched the video, I watched the whole thing, and apparently nothing has become of it. So the guy lost his money. He got ripped off a couple hundred grand. But somebody wrote me and said, oh, why don't you help this guy? And I wrote back to the guy and I said, what do you think? You think that I have nothing to do in my life and all I can do is go run around and help all the people that I don't know that need my help? I mean, seriously, there are, you know, people have to understand something. And I've said this many, many times. First, I am a writer and a photographer. The YouTube is another venue to spread the word and to allow me to communicate with people that might buy my books, buy my photographs, or who have followed me since I was involved in boxing or whatever it is. I don't have to do the YouTube, but the YouTube helps. It does help. It helps for me to remain independent, okay? But, you know, I'm not here to go out and save the fucking world. I'm not Mother Teresa, obviously. And, you know, the last time I did that, I went out to Klong Toei and I tried to help Bang. And basically, you know, I hate to say this, but they lied to me about his age. They lied to me about his situation. I tried to help them as best I could. I don't feel bad about trying to help them. But, you know, I did everything I could do. And basically all I got was lied to by them. I'm talking about Bong and his wife. And I don't fault them for you know, lying about his age, lying about his situation and his identification and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I understand that there are things that are very difficult to handle here in Thailand, and that some things definitely were not lies. They were telling me the truth. And so I don't fault them. And, you know, I enjoyed helping them and doing what I could for them. But the point is that I'm not going out and, you know, I'm not somebody who, my job is to go out and find people to raise money for and give money to and to help them and to make sure they don't end up homeless and all these other kind of things. That's not what I do, and I don't want to do it. Photographs can help. You want to help? Fucking buy some photographs, okay? Then you help me, and then if I go out and I'm taking photographs of some poor guy who's fucking laying there like Bong was, I'm giving him money. Well, you're helping, okay? If that's what you want to do, go ahead. You want me to help so much? Fine, do that, all right? But, you know, I mean, the truth is that I go out and I photograph people, and I don't pay them. And, you know, I write stories. I write things that have happened in my life. I write things that are embellished sometimes. I write a host of different things, okay? That's what I've done for the last 15, 16 years now. So I'm not out to go and, you know, run out to go help somebody because, oh, I got ripped off. I mean, you know, if it's a buddy or somebody, I can advise them maybe. I could talk to them. But, you know, I'm not going to make it my mission to go out and find people. First of all, because I live here and I don't feel like getting killed. Second of all, because I just don't feel like fucking doing it. I got my own shit going on. So this guy writes me with this shit. And he sends me links to three different videos about the homeless in Thailand. He says, oh, this chowderhead stuff, it's not funny. It's very serious. Now, I don't know if he lives in Thailand or not. I didn't ask him. I understand that if a guy is getting his heart broken and getting ripped off, it's not funny. But you know what? If he's writing me telling me he's gotten ripped off and he's gotten his heart broken, it's too fucking late. What am I going to do? What's he going to do? Maybe he has some recourse legally to get some money back or something. But for the most part, once it's done, it's done. So the point is, don't be a chowderhead. It's that fucking simple. So this guy fucking writes me and he says, you know, listen, you should do a video about this. And I said, listen, first of all, I did do a video about this and it's been almost 4 years now. But I did a video about how, you know, you don't want to let yourself get in a position where you ain't got shit. You don't want that happening to you here in Thailand. Okay, now I'm going to say that to the members right now. If you're going to come here and you're going to live here, you damn sure better make sure that you have somewhere to go to run home to if you need to. Okay, or you got money to stay somewhere for a couple of months. And you got enough to pay for an airline ticket that you can pay for, like, in a matter of weeks. You can go, okay, I got, you know, $1,200, I'm going to fly home. Because I only got enough to last me here for about 2 more weeks. And then you got money at home that's the backup money. That's a smart way to do it. Not to fucking, and you know, what this guy's telling me is, oh, well, you know, there's, these guys are, they have problems with alcohol and drugs and the women. And I'm like, so then what I said was, you know, here's the thing. I can make 100 videos. The vast majority of the time, nobody's going to fucking listen. I mean, that is a proven fact. I can give all the advice I want, and I don't know if it's because people are like, who are you? You know, I'm just like everybody else. I mean, you know, like, listen, Oprah, she ain't no different than anybody else. She just happens to have more money, and she got into a talk show instead of becoming a plumber or a printer or whatever. That's all. She's still a person. You know, and believe me, her advice wasn't always good when she gave advice sometimes. You know, she was a bit of a dumb shit herself. Although, you know, she did help a lot of people and she was very intelligent in some ways. But, of course, you know, you don't get to be where she got for being completely stupid. But anyway, the point is that like what I told this guy is that, you know, I can make all these videos and most people are not going to listen. They may hear it, but it's not going to sink in. And then, besides the fact that I've already made a video about it, see, people get themselves in this predicament, and I understand this because I was almost there, but I was very fortunate because you know, I worked myself out of it, and I was smart enough to figure out what to do. But you get into this predicament where you're like, I want to go to Thailand so bad. I got $3,000 and I'm getting you know, $1,200 a month or $1,500 a month for my my online business. I'm fine. And then all of a sudden something happens and that $3,000 is down to $300 and your business goes to shit and you're going, uh-oh, what do I do? It's that simple. It happens that quickly, you know. So, I mean, you know, and now, like for me, I'm a much different story than what a lot of other people are. And that's what they don't get sometimes. I ain't you. I'm in a different position. I have a wife. She's not, you know, somebody living up in Isan who can't do anything and is being completely taken care of. And, you know, she's a housewife and she's not bringing it for whatever, for good or bad. I'm not trying to slam an Isan girl for staying home being a housewife. I'm just saying she doesn't bring home any income to help. Or maybe she brings home, you know, 2,000 baht a month doing whatever around the village or something, a couple thousand baht. But the man basically supports her. I'm not in that position because my wife earns a decent living and I earn a decent living, you know, with the help of members and membership and my photographs that I do sell and my books that I sell and, you know, the money that I have coming in from the United States. So, but we are not rich. But we have a support system. Besides my wife's family and my family back home, you know, we do have a little bit of money. And if something happened to me, you know, my wife is capable of handling it. And if something happened to her, I'm capable of handling it. So I'm not in a position where, you know, you don't know what to do. We don't know how we're going to survive. We're not really in that position. And thankfully, we're not. But hopefully, we never will be. Okay, my kids are getting older and, you know, hopefully they'll be able to fend for themselves. But the main thing is that the guys who end up homeless, this guy even said, yeah, a lot of them have alcohol problems, drug problems, problems with the prostitutes. Okay, so then don't have problems if you like that if you come over here. If you got an alcohol problem, then Thailand might not be the place for you, especially if you have money issues. If you got a drug problem, forget about it. You better not be here because you might end up before a fucking firing squad. And, you know, if you got everybody has problem with, you know, maybe with women. You know, they got a problem with, you know, even if they're only with one woman, they might have a problem with her. But the trick is that the guys, what I see, okay, and I've been the guy who's been fucking whining and crying about, you know, a woman dissing me or, you know, not loving me or whatever many years ago. The difference is that guys who are solid, guys who don't let the woman become their world, they may, you know, be stressed out about it or whatever, but they don't let it tear their world apart, tear their life apart. They don't let it ruin them. They're not about to go out on the 25th floor of some fucking hotel in Pattaya and go jump off to their death or from the roof of Nana Plaza. They're just not going to do that because it's not their whole world. They're not like, oh my God, she's my dream girl. Yeah, she's my dream girl, but guess what? If she fucked around and she's running around on you, she ain't the girl that's the healthiest girl for you and the relationship is not a healthy one. And therefore, you're better without her. So instead of killing yourself, you know, maybe you shouldn't. But the thing that it comes down to is that I am not a savior. I am not anybody's savior. I hate to say that. Maybe I can help somebody in some instances. And if I can, that's fantastic. If I can't, am I going to feel guilty about it? No, hell no, I'm not. And you know why I'm not going to feel guilty about it? Because these guys that were in all these videos, Every goddamn one of them. They're grown fucking men. They need to take care of their responsibilities. The basic responsibilities in life are keep a roof over your head, food in your stomach. That's it. Everything else will work itself out. But you got to be, you know, you got to continue to have shelter and food and water if you want to live. And so if these guys end up on the street, there's a reason why they're on the fucking street. I mean, you know, I'm sure there are some people who, by some bizarre mishap, they might end up on the street. But here in Thailand, a lot of the times, from what I've seen of the people who end up on the street, it's either because they don't give a fuck, or because they're on drugs, because they pissed all their money away. And I remember not long ago, I mean, I don't remember how long, it could have been a couple of years, but there was some guy, I think he was in Bangkok, and he was whining about how he didn't have any money and he couldn't live, and he, you know, and I think his leg was infected and he was living like, I think it was, he was living on Sukhumvit, you know, like under one of the overpasses, the walkways. And a bunch of people raised money for him, and he pissed it all away on whores. And that's part of the problem. So, you know, you don't want to give somebody like that cash. What you want to do is you want to go, listen, and I don't have a problem doing this, and I've done it. I did it. And if any of you remember, I did a video once where I was down in a little park down the street by my house, and there's a bunch of guys, and they were all a bunch of drunks. And they just sat out every day and scraped by. I mean, you know, they went scrummaging through garbage cans and getting bottles and, you know, recyclables and stuff like that, and bumming money and stuff like that. And that's how they got by. And they slept on a park bench. They were filthy. They stunk. And then what they would do is they would get their 200 baht, go buy some cheap booze, and somehow they would manage to survive, you know, another day. And they came to me and they were like, oh, give me some money. And I was like, no. Listen, don't even, I'm sorry, but that ain't how it's going to work. You know, so then I got them laughing, and then they were like, all right, he's all right. You know, I mean, we can't get anything out of him, but okay. And then what happened was at the end, when I was done filming them and photographing them, I said to them, hey, listen, are you guys hungry? Yes. I said, okay. How much is the, this is like fried rice or something, you know, noodles or whatever. How much does that cost over there? 40 baht. I said, okay, listen, use four of you. Here's 200 baht. Get yourself something to drink and go get something to eat. And I waited. And they walked over, or one of them walked over, and bought food for all of them. And that's how you should do it, you know. Instead of like what they did with the poor guy, you know, this fucking guy who was, you know, I don't know if he had like gangrene on his leg or whatever, but that's, if I remember correctly, he did. And he was just fucked up. And you know, he still wants to bang the whores. And my buddy once told me a story about a guy from, I think he was from Sweden or somewhere, you know, up there, Norway, Denmark, wherever. He's one of them countries, right? Sorry that I'm combining them all together, but he used to talk about this guy that used to go into this little beer bar, and he would come once a year. All year he would send money to like one or two girls that he was really fond of, and they would tell him, oh no, we have nobody, and he believed it. And he would come in from the airport. He wouldn't even go to the hotel. He'd bring his fucking luggage with him to the bar. He wouldn't even check in. And so apparently one time he was out and about, and he got in a motorcycle accident, and he was all fucked up. He had bandages all over. He could barely walk. And instead of, right after he was done at the hospital, instead of going back to his hotel and, like, getting some sleep. And if he was smart, maybe he's saying, hey, you know what? Oh, these girls, you know, they want to do something. Now's the time where they can help me out. They can, you know, they can look after me a little bit, you know. Instead, what he did was he got in a tuk-tuk and he went straight for the bar, goes over to the fucking bar stool, falls off the bar stool, He's in agony, this guy, and he's saying, no, 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 I don't want to go home. I want to sit here with everybody. Because he just, the girls wanted to stay there at work. They didn't want to go with him. Because they're like, you know, what are we going to do? We can't fuck you. You're in agony. He's like, please come with me and take care of me. And, you know, maybe one of them went once in a while. But you know, I mean, that tells you the lengths that some guys will go to. And there was a time when I first came here, I would say it was within the first 3 months that I got here. There was a girl that I had seen a couple of times, and she was a hoe. But she was a nice girl, you know, nice hoe. She wasn't trying to steal me blind or anything. And I was lucky that way. But I used to go into Nana Disco, Angel's Disco. I used to go in almost every night. And they used to smoke in the disco. There was smoke just about every place that I would go. People were smoking. And so I would go in, and I don't smoke, and I never have. And, well, I smoked weed, you know, when I was younger. But I was really always very sensitive to cigarette smoke. And I got to the point in Nana at one time when I could go in and I could look around the club, and I probably had banged 80% of the girls in the club. And they got to the point, the girls in the club got to the point going, this guy's been with every fucking chick in the place. Do I want to be the next one to go? And sometimes they would go, no, I'm not going with you. You went with my friend. You know, I don't want to go with you. And then, you know, soon enough, I mean, you know, a couple days later, a couple weeks later, I would see them and they needed money and it'd be like, oh, all right, I'll go with you, you know. But I went down there and I was in that place so much that the smoke gave me a bronchial, I had like a bronchitis or, and, you know, the smog, and I wasn't used to it. And so I went to, one night I was laying in bed with this hoe. And I could barely breathe. And I was like, fuck, what am I gonna do? I can't breathe. She goes, you know what? I think you should go to the doctor. And I said, yeah, you're right. And this is like, you know, 3 a.m. I go to the doctor. Of course, they put me in the fucking hospital. They put me on oxygen. They gave me all kinds of medication. I was in there for 3 days. Had my own room, everything like that. And it cost me about 15,000 baht by the time I got out. And do you know that the girl never asked for anything, and she never left my side. She stayed there the whole time, and went out and got food, and just really, you know, I think that was the only time she left, is to go get food. But she would go out and get food, and, you know, get me something to drink and everything, and very, very helpful. But you get some guy, but, you know, I never lost track of the fact that she was a working girl. And, you know, she might have been there for me then because, you know, I had been taking her. But in the long run, you know, that's not going to work financially because I wasn't about to just go, okay, well, I'll give you 20,000 a month or some shit. I wasn't going to do that. And so this is what happens is, you know, I took responsibility. I said, you know what, listen, hey, this ain't going to work. It ain't going to work, so guess what? You know, thanks a lot for being with me. I really appreciate it. Give her a little bit of cash. And it was a bye-bye. But what happens is there's a lot of guys who think, oh, my God, she loves me. She don't love you. She loves your fucking money. And I don't know how many fucking millions of times I can say it. I mean, Jesus Christ. And then, you know, here's another thing. The guy who wrote me about this, about these homeless people, who when I said to him, hey, listen, buddy, I already did a video, and these guys, they're grown fucking men. I mean, you know, it's one, I'm not the police. You know, you gotta understand this. I look at things a little bit differently than some people. People understand the phrase time is precious, but I learned something from boxing. I really picked it up in boxing, and when I was very young, I was very, very fit, and I was in fantastic shape all the time, and you know, just slowly but surely, I felt myself breaking down, and I'm still breaking down. My body is still deteriorating, And I can feel it, you know, from time to time. I feel like a little jump in just how deteriorated I am. But, you know, when a fighter starts out and he's 18 years old and he doesn't have any major injuries, and then he fights for 10 or 15 years, his body starts deteriorating. Things start getting, you know, they don't heal as fast. And what I used to tell the guys in the gym, and I know that they looked at me and were like, okay. But maybe when they get older, they'll understand, or maybe they won't, who knows. But I certainly understand this, is that every second that goes by, you are getting older. You have less life left in you. If you've got 100 years of life, guess what? If you're 50, at the end of the day, you lost another day. You're 50 plus one day. You got that much less time left on Earth. So the time is very precious. And so why would I go and help a lot of other people and just do that over and over and over again? There's one thing. It's one thing to be kind and to be helpful and to care and to be caring and to help somebody. It's another to be codependent. And I have a family, so my family always comes first. Before anything else, my wife, my kids, they come first. Now I got to tell a little story. There's a guy in our village. And if you follow me, you may remember there was a guy who is in our village. He's a little wacko. He's probably about 6 foot, 6'1", maybe around 170 pounds. Not real intimidating. At least he doesn't intimidate me very much. But there are some people in the village that are frightened of him. And not long ago, he came at me. I was outside. And basically, he had a couple sticks in his hands. He raised up like he was going to hit me, and I knocked the guy out. Okay, this is a couple months ago. Now, I fucked up my hand because my hand has been broken. This was the sixth time. It was broken twice in the fall that I had from the fourth floor when there was a fire, and it was broke three times before in boxing. Once was when I was 17 years old, and I knocked a guy out that was standing up against a wall, and I kept punching, and I punched the wall, and I broke my hand. And then the other two times were in boxing. And so this time I broke it again and knocked him out. Well, yesterday I came home, and my kid is waiting for me, forgot his key, and he tells me that the guy had just walked by and said, you know, you're in the Marines. Have you been raped yet? Or do you want to get raped or something like that? And so, you know, I walked down the street to the guy, and I said, you need to shut your fucking mouth, because if you ever say anything else again to my kid or to me, or you even look at us, I'm going to fucking bash you. Now, I look at it this way. I don't think that the Thai police are going to do very much. And if he's on drugs, if he's drunk or whatever it is, to me that's not an excuse. You're a grown fucking man. If you've got a mental problem, then, you know, I do understand. But when it comes down to it, my family comes first. And that's why, you know, I mean, if the guy ever touched my kid, I'd probably fucking kill him. You know, or I beat the holy hell out of him. For sure. You know, now, and, you know, that's a little dangerous for me, too, because you never know. You know, the guy could have a knife, he could have a gun, whatever. But the point is, you got to be responsible for yourself. And when you come over to Thailand, forget about it. Nobody's going to take care of you. I mean, you might have some friends that'll help you out, loan you a little money, you know, maybe they'll let you stay with them or something. But, you know, the bottom line is, you got to take care of yourself, man. You know, I mean, like all these people who are homeless and shit, to me, 99% of the time there's a fucking reason and they had something to do with it. And then the guy who wrote about this is what I was, you know, what I was alluding to before. The guy who wrote me this and said, you know, why don't you do a video about this? When I said to him, hey, I got a video, instead of him just typing in homeless in the search button, the search box for my videos, instead of just typing in homeless or on the streets or something like that, what does he do? Can you tell me where the video is? So, see, to me, and I know people hate this shit, and I don't fucking care, but before I came to Thailand, There was no fucking internet. The internet was... I'll tell you how fast my computer was. Now you get a computer and it's what, 3-point-something gigahertz? You know, the processor, if it's a Windows, a PC, which I try not to use my PC for anything other than as a media center. My kid's got a laptop that's a... what is it? I think it's an HP. But I got a Mac, okay? I use Mac. I want to use Mac for the rest of my fucking life. I like Mac. I don't care what anybody says. Now, that said, what was I going to say? See, this is what happens to me. I'm getting to be a fucking old man. You know, sounds like my kid's home. What was I going to say? Shit. Oh. Well, you know, I mean, I didn't have... I know exactly what I was going to say now. Sorry. You know, I get a little carried away and I start drifting. Before I came here, my computer was a 167 megabyte processor. 167. Now, it's not megabytes, it's gigabytes. So it was about 20 times slower than computers now. That's how fucking slow my computer was before then. And I was still using Prodigy and AOL. AOL Messenger was the shit back then. Okay? So that was a long time ago. And there were no forums where you just typed in, hey, tell me all about Thailand. I didn't know anything about any of those. And I didn't ever see any. I didn't ever use any. Everything I did was from books, from me researching things, from talking to one of my buddies who had been to Thailand once before, and he has a friend here that's a professor at Chulalongkorn. And so I talked to him several times and looked at his photos and you know, did as much research as I could. And he was the only guy who really helped me. Aside from him, there was nobody else. So when I get a message and a guy's going, oh, can you look for your video for me? Now, granted, I know my videos are not all that well organized. There's 700 of them. But, you know, you can always search in put some keywords in and find what you want to find. Most of the time you can find that. Now, with the case of the homeless video, I just typed in homeless and it popped right up. And I did give him the link because, you know, sometimes you got to cater to these kind of people. Otherwise, you know, it's like, fucking guy never responded, man. He's an asshole. You know, which is, you know, that's very common. You know, I mean, there's another guy. I don't even know what the fuck his name is. I think it's Tokyo Sam or something like that. I don't know the guy from fucking Adam. The guy, you know, I think he sponsored me on Patreon for like 3 months, and it was like something like $20. Okay, I really appreciated it. But he said to me, hey, listen, I'm coming over. Can you show me around? I said, well, you know, I'm a little busy. Let me see, you know, when are you coming? And, you know, let me know. So he, you know, a couple days later, he let me know. And I was going to Cambodia the day before he came. I told him that. So what does he do? This fucking cunt. He comes here, he goes back, and, you know, like a month later, I find out he's talking shit about me, saying, you know, the guy, this fucking guy wouldn't even see me. I even paid him $20, and he wants money. And I'm like, what the fuck don't you understand, dude? I told you I was in Cambodia. I fucking flat out told you I'm going to be in Cambodia for that time. How am I going to help you in Bangkok if I'm in Cambodia? And I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. Can't the guy help himself? Is he that much of a pussy? I mean, fucking A, you got people like Marco Polo and Christopher Columbus and all these other kind of people. They're doing shit with far less than we've ever dreamed of doing. You know, they're doing more with far less than what we have now. Which brings me to another subject, which I'm not going to get into much, but, you know, it's all about the, you know, it's everything is about being modern, technology. Listen, things weren't that bad before. About the only thing that really I can see technology helping is the medical industry, and then there are some other things that, yes, it's definitely helped. But in some ways, I think the internet has fucking hurt a lot of people, and smartphones, forget about it. I mean, every day when I go to Starbucks, I take a look, and I would say out of 40 people in Starbucks, 35 of them are all on their cell phones or on their computer, and they're not having a conversation with the person they're with. They will sit there, and today I was watching a guy and his girl, and she was a good-looking girl. You know, she's a nice-looking girl. She comes in. What does she do? First thing she does is get on the phone. First thing he does, get on the phone. They sat there for 30 fucking minutes, and the only thing that she did was show him a picture once. And then it was, okay, let's go. They got up, and then they left. Now, what happened to the art of conversation? You know, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, I like having a cell phone. It's nice. I have my little entertainment center that's with me if I'm bored, if I'm sitting in a taxi, I want to listen to music. For me, the big thing is the music, and I can use an iPod. The other thing is I do like having a phone because if I absolutely need it, it's good to have it. But you know what? I don't really need it. I could have my piece of shit little, what is it, the little Samsung 900 baht phone that's just a telephone. And then I could have my iPod, and I'd have everything. I don't really want to answer messages. I don't want to check Instagram. I don't want to check Twitter. I don't want to write on Twitter. I don't want Facebook. The only reason I do it is because it's marketing. It's networking. And I'm getting ready to do away with my email. You know, the only people that will have my email address are members and Patreon patrons. And my friends and family. And eventually what's going to happen is I'll just do away with the my old emails. And nobody will have my fucking email except for people that are my members. Because I don't, when I think about it, like I generally do not email my wife and she doesn't email me. Once in a while, but very rarely. And my mother, very rarely. My sister, very rarely. My father, maybe once or twice a year. My friends, very rarely. Most of them will send me a message through Line or something like that. And I've been reading about how, you know, how beneficial it is when you give it up. When you give up your email, when you give up social media, how much more time it frees up. And, you know, it's not like, I mean, the one thing about me is that I set my life up where I don't have to rush. I am never in a hurry. I take my sweet fucking time. And if I have an appointment at 9 o'clock, you can bet your ass I'll be up at 7 o'clock and I'll be out the door at 7:30 so I don't have to rush and worry about the taxi getting me there by 9 o'clock or the Uber or whatever the fuck I take. That's how I set my life up because I don't want that stress. And this is the thing that people don't always understand is that you do have control over your life and how you set it up. You can set your life up to be the life that you want. And I mean, you know, I sound like some fucking preacher, but it's the truth. You can do it. And if you do it, then guess what? And, you know, you find out you may like something else, then you can change it again. That's the great thing. Thailand isn't always the answer, but, you know, there's a host of things you can do to make yourself happier and to make your life a lot more relaxed. And, you know, there are some things when it comes to me, I'm very happy most of the time. The only thing that I'm not happy about is that and it's not about being unhappy. It's just that I'd be happier if I managed to achieve some of the goals that I've set out to achieve. And I don't know what it is, but, you know, I have just got lazy as shit when it comes to exercise. I don't, you know, I spent 27 years in the gym all the time. Was it 27? About 15, no, it was about 24. I was in the gym all the time. And, you know, you get tired of smelling the fucking stink and, you know, busting your ass all the time. And, you know, that's an excuse, but I don't enjoy it as much anymore. You know, I just don't. I'm a little lazy. But you know, that's one of the things that I want to work on. The other thing is there is a level when it comes to my writing and my photography that I have not yet achieved. And I came close to, I began to achieve more when I was writing about boxing and travel, and my photography was starting to come up also. You know, I mean, listen, I did get, my photos were bought by HBO a couple of times. I've been bought by many magazines, and, you know, they purchased my stuff. So, I mean, I did achieve some things, but, you know, I'm not really actively pursuing those in the way that I want to at this moment. And so one of the goals that I've set is to come up with some projects that I want to work on long term, and I want to see them come to fruition. I want them to be published. I want to earn something from them, and I want some recognition. As far as YouTube, I don't really care about the recognition. But the photography and also the writing, but those are about the only things, you know. And you know, the other thing is, and it's not about being unhappy. It's about looking forward to certain things that haven't happened yet. Like, you know, I want to see what happens with my kids, and you know, what they make of themselves, and those kind of things. They keep me alive, you know, but. You know, to fall into a, I guess the point is that to when you fall into some kind of a rut and you're drunk all the time, or you're chasing whores all the time, or you're doing drugs all the time, and I've done all these things, okay? So let's get that straight. I mean, you know, I drank myself silly, and I do like tequila, but I mean, now I very rarely drink it. I like having a glass of wine once in a while, but I mean, I don't go out and get shit-faced anymore like I used to at all. You know, and the drugs, the same thing. I used to, you know, you name it, pretty much I've done just about everything. You know, and the whoring, yeah, I did that too, with whores and non-whores. So, you know, you either rebound and you either tell yourself, hey, I got to get my shit together, or, you know, I'm just going to fuck my whole life up forever. And yesterday, you know, I've been watching this show, if you know who Bill Burr is. He's a comedian, and he's a funny motherfucker. Very funny guy. You know, he's like the Joe Rogan camp, that kind of thing. You know, there's a bunch of guys that they came up around the same time. And anyway, he's got a show on Netflix called F for Family. It's a cartoon, and he is the voice of the father. And he, you know, he's got this family, and I saw the first season, and now the second season came out, and of course, I've watched every single episode. Well, to make a long story short, you got this guy on there named Vic, who's his neighbor, who is a big-time cokehead, DJ, you know, who's, you know, always got the hot chicks, he's got the Corvette, and you know, he's got it going on. But towards the end, Vic even realizes, hey, you know what, I need to get my shit together. I'm off the coke habit. He's like, you know, he tells Bill Burr's kid, I think he's Frank is his name, Frank's kid, tells him, hey, buddy, you know what, I'd like to drive you there, but you can use my car. And the guy's like, what, what? He's like, yeah, I'm coming down from the coke, man. And they show him sweating his ass off, you know. But, I mean, that's your choice. So do I feel sorry for the people who are homeless? Yeah, of course I feel compassion for them. You know, and if I could do something that would help them that wouldn't hurt me, maybe I would. You know, maybe that's something, you know, that one day somebody will do. I don't know. I just don't see myself doing it because it's not in my sphere of things that I want to happen in, that I want to make happen in my life. Because I still feel like, you know, and my father raised me this way. He's like, you know, you want something, go out and earn it. You know, I wanted a TV at one point when I was like 16 years old. He said, so you work, You've been cutting yards. You've been mowing. You've been washing cars. You've been mowing yards. You've been, you know, working part time in the summer, you know, for his friend. And you know, you earn money. So why don't you put some aside and get yourself a TV? And so that's what I did. Then the same thing with a ping pong table. Put that money aside and, you know, buy your own ping pong table. You know, you don't expect people to be doing that shit for you. And, you know, that's the way I think. And so, you know, while I empathize with the people who are homeless, and I do think that it would be nice if there were somewhere for them to go and they knew they would get fed and, you know, they would get repatriated right away. And then they have their own country's support system. You know, they'd have food stamps, or they've had a family where maybe they can live with them or something. I don't feel responsible, and I think they are the ones who need to take responsibility. So I think I've rambled on far long enough. If you haven't got my book yet, by all means, pick them up. You can go to theycallmeferran.com. You can also go to Amazon. Just type my name in, and the books will pop up. And I'm working on another one now that the storyline is pretty good. I gotta say, it's pretty damn good. And hopefully, if it comes out the way I want it to, it'll be very funny, and people will be able to relate to it. So until next time. That's all I got. I'm Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. Chok D, La Jerk and Mai.